Hello, welcome to the WDW Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by my good friend, Cindy Ellicott. Cindy, it's great to see you again today.
Hi, Chris. Hi, everybody.
Cindy, it's a good day to talk for a podcast. Spring's in the air. It's warmer. We're getting some sunshine. Is it by you the same way? You feel like
it's spring? It's gorgeous. Sun streaming in the window and the eclipse is over. So now everybody can quit focusing on that. So yeah, let's talk podcast.
That drove me bananas. I don't know. I was like the grumpy old man during that whole eclipse. I get it. It's special. It really is. But I was like, good heavens, people, let's go focus on things. Like, okay, you're going to see dark and a little bit later on, 4 hours later, it's going to turn dark. I get it. I was grumpy.
Well, there were posts on Facebook up here of, you know, people firing, worried about their animals looking at it and going blind, and they were gonna have to check all their animals. And I was literally like, except animals are smarter than humans. They're not dumb enough to look straight at the sun. They're out in the sun every day. They never look at it.
Exactly. All right. I'm gonna admit this. When I was in my walk, I did take a quick peek at the sun, but I'm seeing no purple spots. So it's good.
So you're good. Peek is a lot different than, you know, looking right at it too.
You know, on my walk though, it was cool. The shadows in the ground were pretty cool. And there was a lady sitting on her lawn, and she had like her and her daughter were there. And as I was walking by, I had my earbuds in listening to the show. And she said, do you want to peek? And I thought it was really sweet that she was offering us a chance to peek through her. I was like, nah, I'm good. I'm good. Anyways, before we start, we have a really educational show today. So we're going to explore a topic that's been released to the media, and it's going to deal with Disney's changes to the DAS program. But we always hit up what's good in our life, because that's what we're rooted in as a community. We want to hear good things. So Cindy, what do you got? Give me something good.
Yesterday, I registered and paid the fee to do the 10K at the Calgary Marathon in May, on May 26th, with my brother again. So looking forward to that.
Yeah. Good for you. You've had a whole kind of like change in like health thought process recently, haven't you?
Yeah, not so much. I'm just, I'm learning a lot about health and what makes a healthy person.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I'm using that to, I mean, I did the 10K last year with my brother and was successful with it. The difference with the program that I have, I'm a lot more confident in my nutrition, that I'll have less recovery time and it's going to be easier to train getting ready for it. Yesterday, Monday, this is a bad thing after you ask me what good. I had blood work done the week before, went back to the doctor. They told me I was severely anemic. So I have to be really careful with activity, because that causes your heart to race, because you're not getting enough oxygen to the organs. They request more. So your heart pumps faster to get more blood there. Now they know I have lots of platelets, actually excessively high number of platelets. Hemoglobin is fine and iron is fine. So they assume that the platelets are not binding the hemoglobin or the oxygen and, you know, getting it to the organs. So I just have to really watch. She wanted me to rest this week and rest my heart. So, because we don't know how long it's been going on that my heart has been racing at this rate. And going forward, I'll be wearing a heart monitor just to make sure, until we get through this patch, that it won't be steady above. If I notice it'll zing if it goes above 125, and I'll rest a little bit and make sure that the heart rate goes back down again, and just make sure I'm not constantly over that 125, which is okay for, you know, moderate exercise, but it's not good for every minute all day long for your heart to be pumping that hard. It's just overtaxing it. So that's not too hard to do. And I mean, with the 10K, if we have to walk it, we have to walk it. But there's a good chance that 4 weeks from now, this will be gone. It's not uncommon with a lupus flare, where it affects your organs with the inflammation, but it can also affect your bone marrow, so that it doesn't, it produces flawed platelets. And then it just produces a whole bunch of them to try and make up for it, but they're just not able to bind as well as they should. So that's the bad part of it. But the good news is I have been feeling good. So I didn't realize that I was that anemic. And people might say, how can you not realize that you're anemic? You would be tired. I've had a chronic disease for years and years and years. So I don't pay attention to symptoms. They come and go. They get worse. They get better. I kind of run my day around what I can do and how I'm feeling. But you had Carrie on and we talked to her. I talked to her after you did the podcast and I really got excited how passionate she was about the program, how it had worked for her and Justin. And so we had some issues because it's not available yet in Canada, but we got that figured out pretty quick. I got my program. Today is my 1 week anniversary on it, program anniversary. And it's working awesome. Like, I'm feeling a lot better. As of today, I am down 8.6 pounds. In the first week. So it's, and nutritionally, I'm not hungry. I'm not having all these cravings. I'm just not experiencing any of that. And I'm learning so much. There's two health books that come with it that talk about the science of nutrition and how it affects your body and how cravings, where they come from, and the dopamine addiction, stuff like that. So I'm learning a lot about that and looking forward to getting healthy. And I would not have ever said that in the last 3 or 4 years. So that's a whole new mindset for me.
Cindy, you have given us so much to unpack there. And I was going to give you like a goofy line from like Guardians of the Galaxy. It was like, I was just hoping for like a new hat or something like that. No, but seriously, you are always a source of inspiration in terms of, it seems just to move forward every day would require just a lot of cognitive awareness and like I need to push forward. And a lot of lesser people, a lot of better people, they would have not pushed forward like you have. And every day there's room for improvement. It's amazing. It's awesome. You know? But I wouldn't expect nothing less of you based on just what I know of you. I wouldn't expect nothing less of you. So I'm so proud of you for taking those steps. So that's awesome. It's going to lead almost directly into our show. Because right. you mentioned a lot, you revealed a lot there, and we're going to talk about these DAS changes. The second part of this is, if you're going to hear a bark in this episode, I'm going to apologize in advance. It's almost dinner time, and I live with two Basset Hounds, and I live with a mix who's a Labrador, but my female Basset Hound, she seems to know when dinner is. So if you hear a bark or an angry dog, it's her. So I can't get her to stop. So I'm denying her dinner right now. She's probably going to be unhappy. So apologize and bear with us. Anyways, let's get on to our show here. So just recently, Disney announced they were making changes to the DAS program. So if you go on social media, if you go on Facebook, you're going to see posts that are from legitimate sites from Disney, and you're going to see some from MSN. You're going to see some from USA Today, and you're going to see some from sites you don't quite recognize, but also some Disney sites, Disney Tourist Blog with Tom Bricker, and you're going to see WDW Today, and you're going to see a bunch of sites all echoing the same stories from essentially from Disney. But I would encourage you, before you even start, read the news, obtain it, and listen to or read from a reputable news source. Do not go onto Facebook and look at the comment section and take that information as part of the story, because sometimes I'm even guilty of that. I'll read the comments and then I'll grab onto a person's comment and I'll think, yeah. And then I realize, wait a minute, that's not true. That was just some person's conjecture and comment. And so be careful what pieces of the story you're listening to. But we're going to quote from USA Today. We're going to quote from MSN. We're going to quote from Disney. And we're trying to break this down because any change in the Disney community is a big change, especially when you're talking about what has become the most requested service at both Disney World and Disneyland. So we want to understand why these changes are taking place. So I guess that's my first question for you, Cindy, is why are these changes occurring right now? What do you think the purpose is from Disney? Because it's really easy to roll a program out. It's really hard to reel a program back in. Why do you think they're doing that at some point or modifying the program?
Well, first of all, Universal did this over a year ago. So I think that there's a realization from theme parks that provide this DAS, which is a blessing to people, or some sort of an accessibility pass for people with disabilities, that there's also opportunities for people to misuse this. And this was dealt with when they revamped the DAS the last time. And now they're going further and revamping it a little further. there are actually Facebook sites where people tell you how to lie to get a DAS pass and stuff like that. So we know that it's being misused. Disney's aware of that as well. They said that the use of it had tripled in the last 5 years, which makes it, they either have to revamp it or they're going to have to get rid of it. Because if you were the person waiting in line, or even, you know, you had paid to have your lightning lanes for your family, which is not insignificant, and then a family comes through and, you know, marches right to the front of the line and goes through, and you suspect that, you know, you've heard them bragging in line that they just get the DS and this is how you do it. It causes issues at Disney. It causes issues for the cast members and stuff like that. So I think that they delved down and they realized there were some ways that they could modify it and still make accessibility to the parks a priority for them.
So the first question I want to ask you, I want to make a statement, but the first question I want to ask you is just, let's go from the start. Let's just talk about what is the DAS. But the statement I want to bring is, you mentioned something and I read it the same, is that demand for this service has tripled over the last few years, whereas park attendance has increased, but it certainly hasn't tripled. So it would lead you to one of two thoughts. Either the demand for this service, the number of people that would require DAS is just exploding in figuring out Disney can accommodate their needs, or there's become a larger misuse, or people can try and, don't use the word manipulate, but like manipulate themselves into a situation where they get essentially free lightning lanes and free fast passes, even though they can wait elsewhere, you know. But yeah, that's a big number. I can't imagine they ever envision a program tripling where the other numbers aren't commensurate growing as well. So I could just imagine how, if you were waiting in line, you bought Lightning Lane as you described, and you saw the people and you heard comments and conversation, that would be abuse and frustration. I could certainly see how that would develop. But let's start off with this. What is DAS? Describe that to us.
So it's Disney Accessibility Services. And so it's a program where you can, prior to the revamp, you could apply online, or you could go to guest services in the park and you could tell them what difficulties you had waiting in line. And then based on your disabilities and how well you could tolerate a line or not tolerate a line, they would be able to suggest options to you. And DAS was one of the options where, if there were no other ways they could accommodate you, they would give you a DAS pass. Mm-hmm. And it was good for you and five members of your family or friends that you want to take with you or whatever. And so that you could have people to ride with, which was obviously very nice as well and very key to enjoying the park. Mm-hmm. And then once you got approved for it, it was good for 60 days. And then you would have to reapply for it if you were coming back to the park and, you know, go on through the interview and stuff, either online or in the park. And what you would do essentially is whatever the wait time was for the ride that you say it was Flights of Passage that you wanted to ride and the wait time was 2.5 hours, you could get a return time at 2.5 hours. And you could do that by going to guest services or on your mobile phone using your Disney Me app. And you had to have yourself and whoever else was in your party hooked up together. And then you could add them to your DAS for that ride. You would get on the ride and... or you could go and fill that time, that 2.5 hours. You didn't have to stand in the line. You didn't have to move through the line, you know, which can be very long, can take, you know, can be very tiring, can be very hard on a person. You didn't have to do that. And you could go and fill that time somewhere else, whether you went to a show or you did a easy ride or you got something to eat or went to the washroom, whatever you needed to do. And there were a lot of reasons that people needed this accommodation because the rides were so long. Number one, there were no bathrooms or no access to bathrooms in these lines. Well, 2 or 3 hours in a line is not going to work for some people. We know we have friends that have issues with that, where the anxiety alone of being put in that position would be enough to ruin it for them. So that was one of the reasons. One of the other reasons a lot of people used it for were in the beginning, mobility issues, where, you know, they couldn't walk, they couldn't stand very long, they're in a wheelchair, that kind of stuff. Another common issue is anxiety or other neurodivergent things that cause them to have difficulty to be in enclosed spaces, to be in close contact with people, to have to spend that amount of time would have just given them so much anxiety that they would have either become sick or just had to leave the line and couldn't have done the ride. And so that's what it was to accommodate, just to make sure that people who maybe can't function every day like a typical neurotypical person would function would still have the ability to enjoy the parks with their families.
Gotcha. So I would say the next question is, okay, well, who would qualify? You mentioned a few of these things because not all disabilities impact the ability to tolerate weights in line, right? Yeah. So even recently, like wheelchairs, ECVs, it's like they might give the judgment, well, you can still wait in this line. It doesn't opt you out of that line. Yeah. But there's a complete list. Is that correct? Where can they find a list like this of some of the
Or either Disney World or Disneyland, you can go on to the website, disneyworld.go.com or disneyworldgo.com or disneylandgo.com. And then you look under accessibility and you will find the ways that you can access and what it covers for on there. And let's see, guest services, the Disney accessibility services. And then it talks about other issues, like you can, here's things that can help you if you have cognitive difficulties. Here's things that can help you if you have mobility issues and, you know, learn more about our DAS service. And you click on that and then you go and it explains what this is and how you go about applying for it and getting it, how it works and how you would use it and that kind of thing.
Okay. So then how do you qualify for this? So what's the process look like and what is it changing to?
So this process, the process that Universal implemented last year required medical background backup, where they sourced an outside provider who then would get information from the doctor to verify that you do have these medical needs and how you would be affected by these medical needs by standing in long lineups or being in required to be in contact with a lot of people or something like that. And Disney has not gone that far in the revamp. They have still said, we're going to talk to you. You're going to describe to us why you need to access this. But what they have done is they have looked very closely, scrutinized their data of who is using this and what the reasons are that they are given for using this. And a lot of it had to do with a couple of things that they're now working to accommodate separately from the DAS pass. One of them is the need to use a washroom either often or unexpectedly. So now they're implementing a system where cast members will be available immediately to take you to a washroom and bring you back to your place in line. So then that person would then not, that lack of ability to function in a long line would no longer say you couldn't stand in the line. Your other option then would be to buy Genie Plus if you didn't want to stand in that long line. The other thing that they're talking about is mobility issues. And you mentioned that as well, where they had started to say a mobility issue is not a reason. We make our ramps wide enough. Everything is a gradual incline. There's no stairs. You can use a mobility aid to get through this line. So it would have to be a mobility issue in conjunction with something else before you would be eligible for a DAS pass going forward. So just having a mobility issue, they're going to expect you to get a scooter or a wheelchair. And you can say, well, I don't want to do that. I want to be able to walk around the parks. I don't like having to look after a scooter and go back and get it after the ride or a wheelchair. There's nobody to push me in a wheelchair. They have said that they have done what they can to accommodate you or accommodate people who need it. But when they have scooters available to rent, wheelchairs available to rent, that it's your duty to make available use of what there is to make yourself part of how the system works and the process works. So typically, and what they have clarified on this and mentioned particularly is for the people with neurodivergent issues such as autism on the autism spectrum or something like that, where there's just no ability to function in a long lineup of people or in closeness with a whole bunch of other people. And that is kind of how they're going to be focusing this on. Now, it doesn't mean that somebody in a wheelchair might not have something going on that also would enable them to qualify for the DAS. But it's going to be a lot fewer issues now that are going to need the accommodation of a DAS pass.
Okay, you mentioned something I want to go and touch base back on, though. You mentioned how Universal partnered up with a third-party health service, and Disney's done the same here. So they've recruited, how they phrase this is that they're partnering with Inspire Health Alliance, whose experts may be brought in. So in the event that, I don't know, it's not quite as clear, or if you feel there's compounding issues at play here, they do have a third-party resource as opposed to just a cast member. So there is another outside. So it's entirely possible they may eventually turn that completely over to a health professional, but it isn't the case right now. So that is not the case. They haven't gone to the extreme that Universal has at this point. So I just want to make
sure. My understanding with their use with that is it's for consultation only. They're not going to be asking for proof of disability. Like, they're not going to ask you to go and see a doctor and prove you have this disability. It's for, in a case like myself, if I was to say I have lupus and I can't stand in line because this and this and this, they may say, well, I know other people who have lupus who stand in line. So I'm going to get clarification from this outside source as to whether your symptoms, your disease is as you are relating it and you actually can't tolerate a line, or whether we can send you to these accommodations and you can accommodate the line as well.
Okay, so back to our question of how do you qualify for? So we know your disability would determine whether or not you actually get this DAS pass. But essentially, it involves a meeting. And at Disneyland and Disney World, it's slightly different. But prior to this change, you could register, go through the website, and you would register for a virtual meeting. And correct me if I'm wrong, because I have not ever obtained this. And you would go through the steps, and they would declare whether you were eligible or not virtually, though it's possible in person, or at least it was. Is that correct as well, too?
It was possible to go to guest services and get have them assess whether you qualified or not.
Okay, so one of the changes that's coming up is that for Walt Disney World, there is no more in person. Everything is done pre-trip, I guess you'd say. Though there is day of availability, but it's not in person. Again, it's a virtual queue, a virtual visit. Is that accurate as well, too?
It's a location return pass for people that if you came and you didn't have the DAS, you weren't aware, you've maybe used it before and signed up in the park, you can apply to get a location return pass where they would just, you would be in the line and then they would, you would leave the line and they would mark it kind of thing there and you would sit right there and then just go back into the line there. It wouldn't be a, you can use this later any time of the day.
Okay. No, but I was speaking specifically of if it was a day of pass, let's say that you and I were in Walt Disney World on a random Thursday and you hadn't had time for the pre-screening ahead of time. Is there still an option for you on that day of to obtain a DAS pass? I thought I read that there was no in-person.
Not in Disney World. There won't be. In Disneyland, there still will be.
Gotcha. Understood. Okay. Yeah. And when do those changes take place? Do you have dates for those changes for?
Yes. As of May. Oh, I had it here. May 20th. Of May 20th, 2024.
Okay. And then it looks like you are right. So I'm reading here. It looks like Disneyland guests may continue to register for DAS with a virtual video call ahead of their trip, which is strongly encouraged, or in person at the day of visit. But starting June 18th, the location will move from guest services inside the parks to the outside Esplanade area between Disneyland and California Adventure. So there still is an option there. And that does make sense there, because that is the locals park. That is the park that you visit on the day of for people in the community, not so much the vacation destination that Walt Disney World has become. Yeah. So I do understand that. How long is this good for? Or how long was this good for? Because there are multiple changes, including Disney's additional hiring of trained cast members, like you mentioned, recognizing someone with IBS and escorting them out and in of the line. How long was and is this going to be good for?
So the pass was good for 60 days. Mm-hmm. And if you return to the park beyond the 60 days when you got it, you had to didn't matter if you returned, if it expired while you were there, you still had to go back and reapply for it. The 60 days was the cutoff day. Now it's good for 120 days. So once you've done the online and you've been qualified, it will be good for 120 days at Disney World. And I believe, yeah, Disneyland is the same.
And so that 120 days recognizes there's going to be changes and there's probably going to be refinements over the next little bit of time as well, too. So, okay. I understand.
And that. Also, people's health can change a lot in 120 days.
Oh, gosh.
Like that's a fair time to say you're good till then. Let's check in again and see if your health has changed before we just give you a lifetime DAS pass, right?
Yeah, exactly. So one of the things people, this is what I was referring back to the show, is as of right now, can Disney request proof of your disability?
No.
Okay. Okay. And that is what I was referring to before. I mean, I had the answer, but if you looked at any of the comment section, any of the posts, you'd see that, and that's a fervor, but Disney cannot request it. Actually, to my knowledge, you can't request it at any, it's a violation, so you can't request a proof of your disability. So I wanted to make sure we actually, documented that. What was the number again? I want you to summarize that number one more time. So previous to this, how many people were allowed to visit with someone with a DAS?
So it was the person that had the DAS pass and five additional members. So there could be six in the party.
Okay. And now, or what will be?
And now it is the person that has the DAS, whether it's a child or an adult, and four additional family members only. No friends. They have to be immediate family. So this doesn't include cousins, aunts, uncles. It has to be grandparents or parents, siblings. If there are more siblings than the four-person count allows, say, family like yourself, where you've got three children, then they will make it the decision at the ride. They will say, okay, yes, you guys are, allowed five, or at guest services, you could go and get it done. But it's going to be a decision made at that point. They're going to make sure that you are. So I can see where this is going to affect, like, say you travel with your family and you travel with Beatrice and Lucy, and Beatrice wants to bring a friend. Well, now Beatrice and Lucy and you and Lisa could go, but the friend is not going to qualify to be able to go with on that DAS pass. Mm-hmm. So there are some stricter changes to it.
Okay. So
this is also going to stop the whole selling off your DAS, like hiring yourself out as a leader, right? As a VIP tour leader, where you used your DAS and then anybody randomly, you'd take them through the DAS all day long if they gave you, $200 or something, right?
Correct. So I'm going to read a couple paragraphs from MSN, but it leads directly into that thought about how this could be abused. But the DAS has become the most requested service at Disneyland and Disney World in recent years, with the volume of users eclipsing the program's intended audience and numbers only expected to grow. That in turn impacts waits and experiences for those who need the accommodation. The changes are designed to help ensure DAS reaches its intended audience. And that's an important statement, these changes are designed and I don't want to minimize anybody's perceived need. That's a loaded statement right there as well.
Nope.
But I don't want to go in and minimize anybody's need, but the people that really need this, with an auditory issue, a sensory issue, it impacts their change. And that's the most difficult one. It's not me standing in line saying, oh, this is awful. It's the family who say, I can't even do this anymore. So I think that's part of the motivation, if not the primary driver of this, to go and suspend the abuse of this. Meanwhile, Disney is also increasing the number of specially trained cast members to help guests with other access needs find the right accommodations. Those may include American Sign Language interpretation, Disney handheld devices that provide captions and visual descriptions for guests with hearing impairments, Braille guidebooks and maps, sensory guides for attractions, and a Disneyland location return times for guests with mobility devices or other physical needs that can't be accommodated by older, non-wheelchair accessible attraction queues. So that comes from MSN. So I work in customer service, though, nothing like this. And, how we handle situations for what would be considered, handicap access is different because ours is a weather-related business. So sometimes course conditions prevent essentially a handicap flag on a cart, because cart path only means the course is so vulnerable at that point. So we handle things a little differently. But I do know that in the creation of a program, there's always abuse of a program. And like you referred to earlier, there are sites, there are cheats, there are, I mean, if you just typed in DAS hints, it would be an embarrassment of riches. And I use that word intentionally, an embarrassment of riches. So I completely understand this and support this. I do have concerns, though, just based on knowing in my personal life some of the people that are close to me and some of their needs. And I'm just hoping that some of the changes, including the bathroom return times, it does offer them an opportunity to visit the parks in a anxiety-free environment. Because I know, like you mentioned, that simple situation of waiting 2 hours in line is anxiety inducing alone, let alone finding the cast member to wave to the cast member to say, I got to go. I don't know. These changes are going to be revealed over time. Yeah. But I do know that Disney is trying to handle this in the most upfront way possible. So
and what do you, have what to you... look at the fairness as well. Like they say, this is overwhelming the Genie Plus and Lightning Lanes where people have paid for the service. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter if you have had this in the past, because at the past they deemed that you qualified for it. Now with different accommodations, it's going to be a new playing field. So some people who've had it before do not need it anymore. They are being accommodated in different ways and they will be able to use different options. And I was even talking to Brittany about it after this came out, because I said for myself previously, and you know, some of the issues that I have with my health and the medications I take and stuff like that, I did need it. But there is probably, I can't see a reason why I would need it now. So if they've got an accommodation to get me around, you know, where there's stairways or like pirates or something like that, they're going to provide me an accommodation to get me out of that, then I think that I'm probably going to be okay. And I'm sure cast members are going to be providing a lot of feedback in these first few months as well as to how it's going and what they're seeing from park goers as to significant needs that are being met or aren't being met.
Mm-hmm. Cindy, so yeah, you're exactly right. There would be feedback on this. You know, I'm envisioning a scenario, because I've vacationed with you before. I'm envisioning a scenario, and this is kind of the ad lib version of the show, where a person in your situation tends to get overheated quickly, very quickly. And some of those attractions, you know, are the queues are based outside. Some are covered, some are not, and whatnot. They do the best they can to provide shade. But I would think that a few of those attractions with longer wait times might put you in a vulnerable position. So when you said you can't see a scenario, I can. I absolutely can with lupus, that you tend to get overheated pretty quickly. So just throwing it out there. There are scenarios that are going to be trial and error in this situation, but I can appreciate Disney's addressing of this problem because, as again, you referred to, we have seen, quote, VIP services offering DAS, you know, and whatnot, where we know that feels icky. Okay, I have one final question. So we talk about the abuse, right? We talk about the people that may try and go and work themselves into a DAS that doesn't quite need it for their experience. What happens if Disney finds out you're doing this? We referred to a VIP tour and we've referred to this. What happens in that situation? What did they used to do? What will they do now? Because I guess there has to be a punitive stage to this if they found misuse.
So previously you were banned from the parks for the day. And it didn't matter how many times you were caught doing it. You were just taken out and banned for the day. You couldn't return. It was kind of like a show up as if you didn't have a ticket for the park or whatever if you came back. But they are really serious about it now. If a guest is found to be lying about a need for a DAS pass, that guest will be banned from Walt Disney World property, including losing any money paid towards annual passes, current stays, and future stays. So that is serious. If you get caught doing this, lying about it, I mean, not using a DAS, but lying about deliberately. And I mean, you know, Disney, right? They're not going to be running after everybody and going, I think you made this up. And this is going to be, like you said, when they find somebody that's doing it for profit or deliberately doing it to avoid paying for Genie Plus lanes or supporting the Facebook pages that tell you how to hack the DAS system and things like that.
Okay. Wow. So it has gotten really serious. Okay.
It has. Yeah.
Any last thoughts on this? I know this is not a typical dub show because, you know, this news is relevant. We have a lot of friends who use this. If you go to Walt Disney World, there, you know, somebody who is trying to access this because they need it, or at least there was a perceived need for this. So it's important. Any final thoughts on this, Cindy?
I think that it was done because it had to be done. I don't think Disney is looking to make things more difficult for anybody. They would love to be able to have front of line service for all of their guests, but that's not the reality. And you know, when you go to a park, that there is going to be some time you're going to have to dedicate to doing the things you want to do, whether it's waiting for a show to start or waiting for a line or something like that. So I think that they're doing it for a good reason, to provide, continue to provide it to the people who need it, but to stop the misuse of it.
Gotcha. One last time before we leave, starting May 20th, Disney World, you will have to enroll with and complete a virtual video meeting, no longer in person. And it's highly recommended because they do offer a day of service, but that's a virtual visit as well. I want to make sure we're clear on that. It's not an in-person visit, but you can only imagine on that day of visit, that virtual service of day of is going to be just inundated and bogged down. So you want to complete this in advance. So again, starting May 20th in Disneyland guests, you can do the same, but that's starting June 18th. And there is going to be an in-person option, but that's in the Esplanade between the two parks. So I just want to summarize that. So, okay, if you have any questions, this is going to be an ongoing news story. So when we get pieces of information, we're going to go and put them in EDCOT, E-D-C-O-T. It's our listener. It's our friend community. It's where we share all of our Disney knowledge there. So join us if you haven't. We'd love to have you. And outside of that, for my friend Cindy and for myself, we'd like to thank you. We want to wish you a great day.
Thanks, everybody. See you later.